You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carty, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, everybody, good evening. This is Marco Bill. Well, Tom left New York on a flight, and he's still in the air. He won't land until 9 o'clock, so he had a little bit of a delay. So he won't be on the show tonight. Because you can't get good cell phone coverage, well, obviously on the airplane, right? They don't usually let you do that on a landing. But anyway, I'm here. We have a great lineup tonight. A couple things before we start the show. I'd like to tell everybody, I'm really thrilled and excited. this past couple of days, this last weekend, Tom was in New York with Rex Howdy Shell and Jim Snell, and they attended the Pocono Mountain Film Festival, which is an independent film festival that's held every year. In 2007, Bigfoot Lives won the Best Documentary Award. Well, folks, I got to tell you, I posted it all on the internet, but you ain't going to believe it. Tom, both movies, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax and Bigfoot Lives 2, both won the same award, first time ever in the history of the film or the festival's thing. Both films won the Best Documentary Award this year. And that's something else. I can't believe that. But anyway, Rex is going to be on here shortly, and we're going to talk about that. First, what I'd like to do, I'd like to tell everybody about some problems we've had in the past here with our chat room. And the chat room we used to have went away. I put a mediocre one up there, but it was too hard for people to get into and use. And it was very difficult, so you couldn't really log in with your name and all these other things without having to have all kinds of admin stuff. Finally, what I had to do was I had to go out and buy one. So I bought one a couple of weeks ago. And the one that we currently have up there is a good chat room, but now nobody wants to probably go in there because they've been trying to get into it before and they just couldn't make it. Well, it's up there now. So the one thing that this chat room has, you have to have Java. It's a Java script chat room. So you got to have Java activated on your web browser, and it'll work. It'll automatically tell you that you need to load it. It'll do all that good stuff when you come up there. But that's the only thing. Once you load it, it'll allow you to get in. You can use your username the way you want to. Steve, Channel Giant, is in there. He's coordinating the chat room tonight for us. And so anyway, I'll try to put some sort of a communication out in an email to everyone and post it on the web pages here so everybody knows. But it's on all the different buttons that I have on the different web pages for chat. Just go up there and click on it, and you'll go into it. The other thing is, there's a couple of things that have taken place here in the last few days here. Chuck Creel's father went back into the hospital again. He just got done with brain surgery not too long ago here, and but he's got some kidney problems, and we'd like to go out there and put a shout out to everybody to send your prayers and the well wishes to Chuck and his father, and to try to help them through this hard time that they're in right now. I know you guys, you've been faithful in the past, and I'm going to tell you, I know I'm an example of how prayer works. I'm still alive, so that makes a big difference here. 2 years ago, they said I wasn't going to last more than a year. So I'm still here, and it's been the prayers that you people and other people have said for me that have come through. Well, anyway, tonight, our first guest is Rex Audichel, and I'm going to unmute Rex, and we're going to get started and talk about the film festival. Rex, how are you doing? Hello, Rex.
Hello, Bill. How are you?
Super. How are you tonight?
Just great. That was a fun weekend we had.
Well, yeah. Why don't you sort of kind of just give us a way out and a background of the film festival. I got some statistics here of it, so we didn't have to memorize all of it, but basically, the film festival is held every year, and usually in around October time frame. usually about 6 or 8 months before, people start making entries to all the different categories of the films, and then they also have what they call honorees that they invite to the festival. People like Billy Dee Williams, Cliff Robertson, Edie Adams, Robert Vaughn, Jack Palance, Joyce DeWitt, Michael Jackson, Roberta Flack. This year, David Saperstein, he's a movie mogul. All kinds of people, they come there. And they make a review of all of the submissions of the films. And then they have a vote, and they present awards to the winners. And pretty much that's what they do, right? Are you still there, Rex?
Hello? Yes, yeah. I'm still here.
Okay. Pretty much that's what they do?
Okay. Yeah, it was kind of fun sitting next to...
Why don't you go ahead and give us the thumbnail sketch of what you did, you and Tom and Jim.
Well, they had the film festival there. They had the schedule of the movies, and if you remember, Bigfoot Lives 1, our cameraman director guy was Todd Bailey. And Todd Bailey had another movie being shown at the festival. And I kind of wanted to watch that one, but it overlapped in a different theater. However, they had technical difficulties and rescheduled, and we were able to see both Todd Bailey's movie, and then we got to see our movie, Bigfoot Lives 2, on the big screen. And I was looking forward to seeing it on the big screen, but gosh, we all came out thinking it really looked good on the big screen. We were really, really excited about that. Then at the awards dinner that night, we were wondering, well, there's a lot of stiff competition because there were several documentaries there. One in particular was really popular. Had a big crowd of people going to that one. And so I think Jim and I both talked about it, and we were trying to not to be disappointed, so we were trying not to think about maybe we won't win this time or something. But we were so surprised when they announced Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax won Best Documentary. And we were, you know, we were excited about that. We didn't know about the second one, because that's the one we had seen and we loved so much. But then we found out that one got it too. Both of them. They tied. We tied for first place. We tied each other. We tied ourselves. That was great. We were just floating. We were floating by that time. It was. And then I got to sit down for dinner. At the dinner, I got to sit down next to David Saperstein. But Tom, you know, Tom knows how to connect with people, and he was, before the dinner, was talking to all kinds of different people and handing out copies of the movie and making his connection.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the different people you met that you met there?
Say that again, please.
Why don't you tell us about some of the different people you met there?
Oh, I'm not the kind of guy that goes around. Let's see, we... Right at our table was a young lady from Brooklyn, and so she and Tom talked and figured out where each other lived in Brooklyn at the times they were doing that. And somebody else near our table was there representing somebody else who had entered the screenplay contest, although they didn't win the screenplay contest. Somebody else did, somebody across the room. Then there was an interesting lady we talked to who was starting domestic violence house, a house for women and children to get away from domestic violence. They have, that's kind of their charity project. The film festival is connected with. And it was kind of interesting talking to that lady. Some wild things happened in bad areas of town, and it was nice to that she's trying to get that, help those ladies there. Didn't
now,
talk
the
to
lady
any
who
other
started
people.
This whole thing out was what, Bridget and Bernie?
Bridget and Bernie started the film festival. Somebody else, one of their friends, was starting this other help for the domestic violence victims. I forgot her name. Her little sister's name was Terry Evans, who died at the age of 25. And so her older sister was doing this in memory of her.
Now, there are quite a few other awards that were given for different independent films, right?
Oh, yeah, independent films. They had, it's a full-length short film. And
I heard Todd, I see Todd Bailey won Best Director, huh?
That's right, for his film, Echo. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they gave a Lifetime Achievement Award to Robert Townsend, I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Uh-huh.
So you guys were all elated and just completely overwhelmed, right?
We sure were. I haven't even gotten on the website to see the pictures yet. Did you post the pictures?
Yeah. Yeah, they're up there on the website. Both websites have them. It's, what you'll do is you'll go up there and you'll see a little logo, Pocono Mountain Film Festival. You click on either one of the logos that I've got up there on either searchingforbigfoot.com or bigfootlive.com, either one, and it'll take you to a web page that has the whole outline of, it'll show you some of the pictures of, not all of them, but some of them that we had of Tom and some of the Bridget, Bernie, with Robert Townsend, and with David Saperstein, Mickey, I forgot his last name.
Harmon.
He's a producer, right?
I think so.
Oh, no, he's a film, was he a vice president or something? Pretty big in the movie industry, anyway. But he knows him.
Okay.
But anyway, he has pictures of that. You and Jim Snell and Tom and
David Saperstein and Mickey Harmon, they actually gave a workshop. And it was during the showing of Bigfoot Lives 2, but Jim Snell, who, you know, produced Bigfoot Lives 2, he was kind of disappointed he wasn't able to go to the workshop because he would have loved going to that workshop.
Yeah. Goodness. Well, that was amazing.
Uh-huh.
So tell us what they had to eat.
Beef and salmon.
Everybody was all dressed up.
Yeah, beef and salmon and green beans and salad. And a lot of good dessert. Yummy.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is where this is in New York, right?
Well, it's in the Pocono Mountains, which is in Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia.
Right. Yeah, right outside of
Philadelphia. But it is a popular spot for New Yorkers to get out of town.
Right.
And into the woods.
Pretty neat.
Yeah.
So you had fun. Everybody was amazed that we won both awards. It was unbelievable. That's the first time ever, right?
The first time ever.
Yeah.
Good documentaries there, and then we tied. Gosh. Tied for first place.
Wow. That was neat. That was pretty good. Well, I'm, they got some of the things posted on the website, but not everything. But I got some stuff posted up there right now. And so people could take a look and see what it did. And if you haven't, seen either one of those films, Bigfoot Lives 2 or Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, all you got to do is go up to our website, www.shoppingforbigfoot.com, and you can take a look and purchase, plus a bunch of other stuff that we have up there as well. Or you can go on Amazon.com and purchase it. Well, gosh. Rex, it's really neat. I'm glad that you came on to talk about it a little bit and let everybody know.
You're welcome.
I'm really thrilled that that this all happened. I mean, geez, I can't believe it. How anything going on in your area?
No. Southern New Hampshire is a pretty dead area.
It's kind of cold up there, isn't it?
You know, we're going to have snow tomorrow night.
Yeah. My gosh. It's God's country, but nobody but a God could live there.
And hardy New Englanders.
In the wintertime. In the wintertime.
Foolish Californians.
Right. I'm too used to all this this good stuff. This good weather. It's been the perfect weather in California now for the whole year. I can't even believe it. But anyways, Rex, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Letting us know. And you take care. And we'll keep in touch with you. Jim Snell sent his regards. Jim is going to a nursing, not nursing school, it's a medical technical school. Medical technician.
Surgical technician.
Yeah, surgical technician. Yes, and so it's like a doctor. He's in. He starts at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's in there for really long periods of time, and so it's couldn't be on the show tonight because he has to get up at 3 o'clock his time this morning. It's 10 o'clock over there right now, so. He apologizes, but he wanted to say hi to everybody and tell you guys, you and Tom, give his regards to you and tell you he really enjoyed himself at the Pocono Film Festival.
He sure did. It isn't every day
anyway,
that you get your own movie shown on the big screen.
No, that's pretty neat.
It was a big treat for him.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It says a lot. Well, Rex, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it was Rex Howdyshell. And now we're going to go to do a little commercial here, and I'll be right back, okay? Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
Boy, that very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the war.
Ladies and gentlemen, here we are back again. One thing I'd like to say. If you've never seen Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and you really want to know what happened in 2008, August of 2008, and all the things that took place, there's been so much garbage on the Internet from various people, some of them very close to us at the time, that have distanced themselves from us because of it, and that was because they didn't want to be, they didn't want their reputation tarnished. So they told all kinds of garbage and other things. But if you really want to know the truth, what happened and how it happened, if you watch that film, I guarantee you, it tells the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And it was completely filmed. We videographed every step so that we would have that thing, and that's what we did. And a lot of people have seen it. It's opened their eyes to a lot of things that happened. Anyway, we're going to come to our next guest, Shannon from New York. Shannon's he's next to his home, right outside of his home there in the woods areas. He has been hearing all these different sounds, and basically we contacted us last week, and he played a couple of the sounds for us, and one of the sounds we recognized. The other sounds, I mean, sounded it was, it seemed to be a big, you know, a creature sound. And anyway, Shannon, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Shannon, why don't you give us a little bit of a background on what's going on?
Okay, we're way up in New York. We're, within a stone's throw from Canada. A river separates us up here. There's three river systems in the area we live in. More to the point, the land that I live on. We've hunted this land for 15 years. My land is adjacent to about 600 acres, all privately owned. Big swamp back there, huge swamp back there. A lot of the owners of the property, they don't hunt. They're not in those woods a lot. I guess the first time I heard this was probably about 6 years ago, parked out front before we lived here, waiting for a buddy to show up for a morning hunt. And it must have been about 4 a.m, and this thing let out a beller. And well, I didn't go in the woods. The guy didn't show up, the buddy didn't show up, so I didn't go in the woods. And since that, we purchased the land. So when we bought the land, we built a cabin out here and bought a fifth wheel, and kids moved into the cabin. We moved into the fifth wheel while we started building. My daughter got up one morning. She said she came out of the cabin one night to go to the bathroom. Said something was out there maybe 20 yards away from her. She pointed to the spot and said she heard something that, what she described, it sounded like an elephant growl. I've never heard an elephant growl, but that's how she described it. She basically went back into the cabin and, well, stayed there till sun up. We've been here 5 years. The first winter we were here, my wife and I went back to the swamp. We've seen tracks, but they're not the tracks like I see on the internet, you know, the very distinctive toes and everything. It was a big track, but you couldn't make it out. It was in snow. I've gone out to this car in the morning to get the wife's car started. Unfortunately, we smoke, but we don't smoke in the house. So we've got a deck off the back, and that's where we go out there about anywhere from 4 to 4:30 in the morning. We're up and we're outside there. So I've gone out once to our car with a flashlight and see from our back deck, the tree line starts maybe 50 yards out. Shine the light just the perimeter, and I did get something shining. The eyes were shining on something standing back in there. It was a lot higher than a dog. I don't know what it was. I know the eyes were shining. It was looking at me. I wasn't saying anything, and it turned away. You could see because the shine turned away, so whatever it was turned its head away, then looked back at me, turned away again, looked back once more, and then it didn't run, just all of a sudden it just walked back into the woods. And I didn't go in after it. Last year, while I was hunting last fall, right close to dark, it was almost dark, I hadn't seen anything, so I decided to use the grunt call. And when I grunted twice, this thing screamed about 30 yards deep into the swamp, almost immediately, right after I grunted that call. Kind of raised the hair on my neck there. I've hunted years, you know, I'm 43. I've hunted all these years. I've never heard anything like it. So what I did is I had a 30-30 lever action. So not knowing what it was, I started racking shells just so this thing could hear whatever it was not a deer that just grunted, you know. It was right. Hearing that metal sound. So didn't hear anything that night after that. But we come home this summer, my wife and I were we had an ATV rhino. We came home one Friday night, and I've got a Siberian Husky. He's got to be all of 90 pounds, but he's on a run, like a clothesline run with a pulley system. And we pulled in, and he's linked between the cabin that my daughter, I was mentioning, was staying the summer in, and the house. Now, we're on the deck, and we're calling him. He's barking at this back line, right where the trail starts in the woods, where I've seen that set of eyes there. And he wouldn't listen to me for anything. I'm trying to get him on the porch. And finally, I said, "You want to go for a ride?" And that gets any dog to stop whatever they're doing. So he stopped and he looked at me. And as soon as he stopped barking, that thing screamed again. And from where it screamed, it was just inside the wood line. And the dog made a beeline for the house. And I've never seen him act like that at all. And that was a Friday night. So Saturday night I got out on the deck. We've got a second floor deck. Sets a lot higher, a lot safer. Nothing can jump up there. And
right.
I got a digital recorder going. And I caught this thing screaming that night. It was right out back. And there was a little bit of there's a stream next to the house here. We just set up a pond and a little pump, so there's water sound, but you can hear that thing screaming. And then 2 days later, I had the window open in the second floor bedroom and left that recorder up there and got a real sharp sound of this thing. The sound was in the backyard there. Crystal clear, it come through, woke me right up. The only thing I have noticed is last winter I did see tracks again, but again, they're not the distinctive tracks like you see on the internet, like everybody sees the five toes and the, you know, the footprint. They just look like a larger impression in the snow. And when we started out 5 years ago, I'd have 13, 14 deer a night coming into the... We've got a little meadow. We're set back off the road by about 500 feet, pretty secluded. But I'd have anywhere from 13 to 15 deer come in every evening. And now I don't see any deer, maybe two or three. The coyotes we used to hear back here constantly, we don't hear those anymore. And just this morning, 5:30 this morning, the wife went out to the car and... whatever's making that noise had bellowed, and she said it was right there in the tree line. I got up late, but I heard her run across the porch and right into the house.
But, wow.
Yeah, there's just a lot of coincidental things, and I've called conservation officer up here and let them listen to it, and they asked me if this was some kind of a joke. I've let other people listen to it, and some say it's owls, some said it's a fisher, but I've got these in the backyard, both these animals, and I've heard them both, and I've never heard any of a fisher or an owl make that type of sound. I looked relentlessly on the internet, on YouTube, went through owls, cougars, you know, you name it up here in upstate New York, whatever that animal, you know, we've got up here. I've searched it endlessly and couldn't match this thing up. So I don't know what it is.
Did you send the sound file to Tommy?
I didn't. No, I believe I just played it over the
phone. Yeah, no, we listened to it on the phone, but that's okay. Do you have it now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't you play it for us a couple times? And see so everybody else can listen. I know the one sound in there is we recognize, but Tom was pretty excited about the second part.
Okay, the first one I'll do, this was the first recording I got. The water kind of drowns it out, but you still hear it, and then I'll just go ahead and play that second one, or?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
Tom was kind of excited about that second part of the thing there. He thought it was sound like a creature. When you send it to both. If you can. I don't know what file format you have it in, but
I'm pretty computer illiterate, so I'd have to get with the wife.
That's okay. You don't gotta be
that. Yeah.
Don't worry. I'll talk to you on the phone and I'll tell you how to do that.
But later. Now, as for the sound itself, have you guys ever heard anything like that?
Tom said he did. Yeah, he said that sounded like a creature noise on the background there. The first one he recognized. I forgot what he said it was, but you know, he recognized that.
Right, high pitched scream.
The second
right?
one, right, yeah, but the second one after that, there's another one where it's got some low kind of like not grumbles, but what you call I don't know what you call it, but that's what's excited him. That sounded like a creature sound that he's heard before. So
we'll
see.
This
it's hard over the phone. It's hard over the phone because the fidelity is not. You can't really get down and you can't really, you know, filter anything. But that's a thought.
Right.
You know, some of the people might want to listen to what you had, and they may have some comments about it too. And if you do, go up on www.bigfootlive.com. We have a guest book in there, and you sign in the guest book and just let us know what you think. And Shannon, you can if you are you have a computer?
Yes.
Okay. If you go up on www.bigfootlive.com. There's a button somewhere in there that says guest book. You can go in there as well and take a look at it and see if there's any comments. Meanwhile, what I'll do is I'll give you a call later, and we'll later, you know, sometime this week, and talk to you about how to send it. How's that?
That's fine. Just a couple questions for you guys. Always believed in it, never figured it'd be anywhere around my place, you know, but we're a couple hours from, say, Saranac Lake, Lake Placid, the mountains, the Adirondack Mountains. With this thing, does anybody here that's out there looking for these things? Because I'll hear this thing nightly. Like
well,
last
hang
night,
on the line here. Hang on the line here. We got a guy that has hundreds of sounds of the creatures. Bill from Missouri is going to be on here. He'll be right after the next guest here. And he has, hang on the line, and we'll get you on to talk with him as well. And he'll give you his opinion of what he heard. And maybe he's had a lot of these. He's recorded a lot of sounds just like you. He's got hundreds of them. And how about that?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
The only thing I had a question was if we got time. We got time? Okay. I've been looking at these sites quite a bit. Now, in regards to these trees, they're bending trees over or making some sort of signs in there. What exactly, because I imagine for someone who isn't looking for it, you're going to overlook it, but what would someone be looking for something?
Well, here's what you look for. Here's what you kind of look for. When you're out in the woods and you see a 2.5 to 3 inch branch that's twisted, okay, it's twisted, and it's twisted into either a round or just a formation, and it's about 6 feet or higher. There ain't too many things that can reach that high. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
And so you look at those kinds of different things, and they're what we call tree twists. Okay. And the tree formation part of it, they've taken trees and knocked them down and placed them in different, you know, things. They can make bedding areas in little. They're not shelters, so to speak, but they do. They're hidden type of things where they can lay down and bed in with the grass and stuff, and then they have a little tree things, branches and stuff over them. Okay, but the big thing that we had a gentleman on here about a week ago, from Virginia, and he came on about 8 months ago, and on his way to work, he had seen these different tree formations. He sent us some pictures, and And, of course, just recently, Tom went down there and visited him on the expedition. And guess what? The next morning, they set up some traps, some bait traps and things. And the next morning, by the trees where they found the trail, there was a footprint. Well, actually, a bunch of footprints. And so they casted the footprint. But there was also something else. One of the traps that they sent was peanut butter up on the high in a tree. And the peanut butter was wiped on the log that was near the ground. Would wipe his finger off on it with peanut butter. And, that, you know, bears don't do that. Other kind of animals can't do that, if you know what I mean.
Yep. No,
I so, plus the footprint right next to it kind of sold it. Now, they couldn't spend a lot of time there because they had to get going. They had to go to get going to Florida, but he's planning on going back there. But at the same time, just a few days before that, the gentleman had a visual encounter of two of them, two juveniles, and he'd seen them. And so that was his first encounter. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen, and it can be very interesting what can happen. So you just keep on doing what you're doing.
The only thing, I've noticed is that dog. That's the best way that I can tell. Because when he's out there most of the day, all day. The only time we bring him in is at night. But so you can tell when there's something because he's seen deer out here. We've raised coons here, raccoons. So you mean the wildlife he's accustomed to, but something gets him riled over in this corner over here. And fishers even. We've got fishers out here, but. And he's seen these, but something gets him stirred up out there. And like I said, I'm just curious. There's a lot of little things that happen that when you put them all together, maybe it means nothing. But
after you see all this stuff, what you're going to do, you want to do is you want to go out there anywhere near where you had the sound or something and look for evidence like footprints. You can look for tree twists, footprints. Sometimes there's evidence a hair brushed off in the brushes or something. You hear noises like footsteps and stuff like that.
In and around
the forest areas, it's leaf litter and pine needles and all those other things kind of detract from a footprint. But you can get a foot impression, and you wouldn't be able to see the dermal ridges and things like that from the toes and the bottom of the feet. But what you can see is the outline of the footprint itself. In snow, it's even better. So as winter comes there a little bit, if that thing's still around, it's supposed to.
Well, I don't think it's going wherever it is. Yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere. I mean, I could go out here within an hour, I'm going to hear it screaming. Saturday night, I shot a buck Saturday night, and I drug him out. I drug him out Saturday right before dark. And it wasn't a couple hours after dark. I was out in the porch here, and I heard that thing beller from right over near my stand. And I come back out maybe an hour, hour and a half later. And, this could actually be nothing, but there was right over where I had the deer hanging, wasn't 20 yards in the woods right there. It sounded like a big tree snapped. But, again, it could have been just deadfall sitting over there. But then I got the
Well,
I mean,
keep
again,
on trucking and do it. You keep on listening.
Well, I don't know
keep
what
on
it
keeping
is.
Your eyes open.
All right. Well,
something will happen. I guarantee it. If you're looking for it and watching out for it, and you and Tom will get back to you. Also, he'll tell you for some things to look for as well. I'm gonna. We got to get to our next guest. We're running really late now. But hang in there. Listen, and Bill will be on here shortly, and we're going to be talking about the same thing we just talked about.
Okay. Good enough.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, and I'm going to mute you back out again. And later, if Bill is here, he has a question or something, we'll unmute you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep,
thank you, Sean. Shannon, take care. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Shannon from New York. We're going to go right into our next guest. We're cutting into his time here, and we're going to go right into our next guest, Bill from Missouri. Bill, are you out there, my friend? Are you there, Bill?
You bet I am. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing great. Well, Bill, you just heard Shannon talk about his little experience with the recording. Did you hear the recording?
With oh, the yes. Heart? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the creature.
Well, oh, really? Well, Bill, why don't you... Bill has been on the show about a year ago, and he's got a lot of experience with a lot of different things. I messed up the write-up tonight on the webpage, and it said that we're going to talk about tree formations. That's not what we're going to talk about. I just made a mistake and confused that with another guy that was going to it's going to be on next week, Jim Dawson. But anyway, Bill is going to talk about his recordings. Give us a little background, Bill, where you're, how you got into this and what happened and some of the things that you've experienced.
Yeah, sure will. My mother and father, when I was just a little boy, told us kids about the Bigfoot. Now, they didn't know what to call it. They called it the thing. That thing come out, you know. This was before the 1967 Patterson film. It's before that.
Right.
I was just a little boy. I'm 62 years old, and I just a little fellow when my mother and father started telling us kids a story about seeing Bigfoot. Of course, they called it that thing. They didn't know what it was. And it would, my mother and father were married in 1932. And right shortly after that, they went to a, my dad was a timber man. He worked in the timber and with logs and that. And back then, they had a hard time making a living. And he went into this camp, and they had the man that they worked for provided them with cabins. There were several cabins there that the family stayed in. And my aunt, my uncle, and my mother and father, they took one cabin. And they would live in there. And during the day, well, the men would hew ties by hand with an axe, would make railroad ties. And during this time, one night, my aunt was sad. She was sitting on the back porch crying because the men had went to town. It was a Saturday night. She was afraid that someone would steal her husband. And she went to the back porch sobbing because she, you know, she didn't like it at all. And as she cried there, this creature walked up to her. And as I understand it, kind of bent down over to her because she was crying. And she jumps up and she screams and runs into the house and tells my mother. And they're both young women, see, and both of them just had been married. And when the men come home, my aunt, she told the men all the people what had happened, and they all had them a big laugh, you know, the way people are. And my mother said it wasn't long after that they all got to see it, and they all seen it, and they'd seen it several times. And my father was a minister, and he was serious in life. He did not make tales, and he took life serious. And he told us this story, and I believed him by the legacy he leaves behind. He's a believable man, and so is my mother. And as I got older and I had children, I'd have my mother, my dad passed away, and I'd bring my children to my mother, and I'd ask her, tell them the story, and my mother would tell them the same story that they told us when I was this little boy. And from that, I decided, you know, I knew they were there because my mom and my father both said they seen them and seen them several times. So when I retired about 3 years ago, I decided that I would go find them. And determination and not being afraid to get out there in the dark and lay on that old cold ground, I have been able to see them. I've been able to audio record them. I have some photographs, some videos that are not good, but anyway, I've encountered them, and they're there, folks. I mean, they are there.
Now, Bill, when you listened to the recording just now that Shannon had played, what did it tell you in your experience? You know, you've made hundreds of recordings of these things.
Yes. Well, it's a little different than my recordings. The scream part, they're here in the southern states, what they do, they scream sometimes, and then they go into a moan like a lonely, lonely man, a huge man that's lonely, and they moan, and it's very, very loud. And if you're anywhere close, they'd actually... When they do their hollering, they will vibrate your chest. They're so loud. They are so loud. It's unbelievable.
Now, you had mentioned that you had had one encounter that lasted for over 45 minutes.
Correct. Yes, I did.
Could you tell us about it and tell us what you saw? How close were you? What did you see in the creature? How did it look to you?
Well... unfortunately, I could not. I can't detail its nose and mouth. I cannot detail them or how much hair it had on its face. I can't detail that. I could see its body, and its eyes were unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, what
eyes.
Did it look like?
The eyes. When let me explain this. He was 100 foot from me. Estimate.
Yeah.
But it's not any over that. And he was on the across a highway from me, a little farm-to-market road highway, paved road there. And he was watching me watch him. And if I would move in a certain way, his eyes would change sizes. They weren't, say, about the size of a man, okay? The eyes were about the size of a man's eyes. But if I moved a certain direction, it would, or any movement I'd make, it would startle him, and his eyes would get huge, big as silver dollars at least, and because it, some way they opened their eyes up, and the light was tremendous coming out of those eyes. Is this absolutely the reflection of... the light that was out there was just come out of the eyes, just unbelievable. And in fact, I was looking at him through night vision, and through the night vision,
I got it. I understand.
It was green through night vision. His eyes were green, but the eyes themselves, they just like they were like looking into prisms. The light coming out of there was like cast off, and it looked like it was casting in different directions. It would just explode out of the eye like like you were watching a science fiction movie. Just unbelievable. It's quite exciting, really exciting. I've never been so excited before in my life, and it was tremendous. It's just tremendous. Well, first thing they done when they got there, there was two of them. One was down right on the ground, peeking around a tree. The other one was up higher, peeking around a tree. Had their heads poked around that tree, looking at me. And this is unbelievable. I mean, these things, peek around trees, and. It's really exciting, and the one finally started raising up, the one on the ground, and he raised up higher and higher, and then he come, and he stood beside the tree and just watched me. He watched me watch him, and this went on and on and on. He would duck down once in a while. He moved so fast, I couldn't tell where he went. And I made it a point the next time he ducked down, I was going to watch close so I could see him move. But I could not see him move.
He just like flash, and he's gone. I mean, there wasn't even a flash. He's just like, he's not there. And then pretty soon, he would stick his head back around that same tree, and he'd start watching me, and then he'd raise up again and walk out there beside that tree, and we'd stare at each other again. Tremendous. It is tremendous. I've had him during the daytime throw rocks at me, and they'd hit objects near me. And tremendous. The rocks weren't big, but they hit so hard. They would just like bounce off the object that they threw them into, just tremendous. And I could look around. I couldn't see where the rock come from. I couldn't believe that something could be that far away and throw that little rock that far to hit that hard, you know. By the time it got to me, it should have been, you know, its speed should have been, velocity should have been way down, but it wasn't. It was not.
Well, you know, we had a guy in Minnesota about a month or two ago. The guy was in a tree stand, and one of the creatures threw a good size, not a big rock, but a good enough size one, and it hit him, and he was wearing, like, heavy jacket and vest and everything, and it hit him, and it made a deep bruise in his ribs, and, I mean, he couldn't hardly move. That's how hard it was.
Oh, yeah. So it was pretty, I believe that.
And that was way up on a tree stand, and this is from a fairly good distance, too, so there's other people that have had that kind of thing. That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Bill, we're getting towards... We got to have you on again. I hope you don't mind, too. Would you come on again next week? And what I'd like to do is go through a lot of the different stuff, that the other things that you've had with us.
Sure.
And
would
you be amenable to doing that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Whatever you think.
Because it's getting towards the end of the show right now. We're in the last minute here. But I wanted to thank you for coming on the show, first of all, Bill. And I hope that we'll keep in contact with you, you know, continuously here. And as things progress, and you have other either discoveries or happenings, we'll have you on and get you to do it. In other words, also I'd like to listen to a lot of the sounds that you've recorded, and well, I'll get in touch with you separately for that. But I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us. I thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I'll give you a call next Monday.
Sure.
Okay?
That's fine.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have two other people that were going to be on the show tonight, Jason and Thomas, but they couldn't make it. But they're from North Carolina. They had an encounter just 2 days ago, and they probably wanted you to listen to that as well. But we'll have them on next week with Bill here, and we'll continue to bring you real people and real experiences. And I want to thank all the guests tonight for coming on the show and sharing. And to everyone else out there, give up your prayers for old Chuck Creel's daddy. And we'll see you all next week. Keep Bigfooting. Okay, good night now. Bye-bye.
Tom was a man with dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment, where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of the Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then. Reason for fact.